Okay, so we'll continue here in Kuf Yud Gimel, in the middle of Siv Gimel. It's also not considered proper because the reason for his bowing down now is because since he mentioned bowing, so he thinks that he has to bow. And really, you should not bow for this. So it's worse. If you're going to bow in places that you don't have to, that it doesn't imply bowing, then it's okay to bow. But if you're going to try to bow down because you're interpreting the words wrongly, or wrong meaning, that's bad. That's maguna. That's what we don't want you to do. So when you're saying, you're going to be bowing down because you think that that's what you should do, that the verse is telling you, though, that's not to do. Really, you don't have to bow for that? Now, but when one comes to the in the Aleinu, we say Anachnu Korim, we kneel Umishtachavim. Kibon she'emer al atzmai. Since he is not saying I am bowing, he's saying we bow in a plural. El al kol olam kulei. But you're saying everybody. She'mishtachavim lufanav yizbarach. That everybody bows before Hashem. So you're not saying it about yourself. You're just saying that everybody does it. Yofei Meisim. So then they're doing well for leaning bowing. Because in this case, you're doing it for everybody else. You're not doing it just for yourself. You're not. So therefore, it's not like you're interpreting the verse. Oh, I'm bowing because the verse is telling you to bow. You say everybody bows, and that's what you want to bow. So that's okay because it's not like, as opposed to where the verse tells you, he would be doing it. Each person should bow before you, so he would be doing it because the verse is telling him, and the rabbis didn't institute it, so that would be wrong. That would be maguna. The same thing is what the tradition is to kneel on Yom Kippur Musaf. When we do the Avodah, everybody kneels. Over there it says the priest and the people would kneel and bow. You're also not saying it about yourself, that you're saying that that's what they would do. You're just remembering this, that the Kohanim and the people did in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, that they would kneel and bow. And we, that we're comparing ourselves instead of the Kohanim, also they're doing well. So that's okay, that's proper that they're kneeling. Also what they say in the order of the Musaf Yom Kippur, it says, Chotu Avu Pashu Bnei Yisrael. It says that they have sinned, they've been crooked, they've guilty the Bnei Yisrael, and what they didn't, so, and they, Anu Medamatz Meinu Kilanachnu Oysu Beis Yisrael. So we're sort of saying, we are those people when we say Avu Pashu V'chotu. So it's okay, V'yofa Oysin Heim Amakim Alibam. So it's proper, those who would bang on their chest, on their heart, just as they do when they say Oshamnu. So even though the rabbis didn't institute over there to bang on your chest, but he says those people who do it are doing it properly because we are in the place, we're saying we're looking at ourselves as in the place of those times, but it's not the obligation from the pasuk. So now he's going to give you some details of how the bowing takes place. So he says like this: Hamispalil, subsection 4. Hamispalil, tzorich sheyichra Ache yis pakaku kol chulyos shebishadra. You have to kneel to the extent that all the vertebrates, I think that would be the English words, that are in the spine are going to sort of curve or go out of their sockets, you know, like they're all gonna, instead of being in the sockets, so yispakiku, I think, loshim pekak, I think it means like a stopper, like so the like goes out of the spakiku. It's a very common expression, but never thought about the exact translation of the word yispakiku. V'lo yichra me'emtza mosnov v'roisha yiye zokuf. So he says he should not bow from the middle of his hips while your head is standing straight. Don't do this. Don't bow from the middle of your hips and bow down while you're standing straight. Elagam roisha yokuf kagman. But also your head, he should head tilt it, right? Like, I'm not sure what the agman, I think means the hunchback, like a hunchback. So you should, so you darden, and like this. So you bend your head and your knees. V'lo yishche kol kach, but don't bend so much. Ad sheyiye piv. So that your mouth will be opposite the belt which is on your pants. That appears arrogant. That you are bowing too much. So you don't want to bow to the extent that you go always down. And if you have an elderly person or somebody who's sick, who cannot bend to the extent that the ispakiku. So kivan shelchan roisha, just bending your head is sufficient. Just bending your head is sufficient. Ma'acha sheniker shechofetz likroya, because it's recognizable that he really wants to kneel. He's trying to kneel, but he just can't get to that level. So bending a little bit would be okay. Elashem is tired. He wants to, but he can't do it. But it's because he's in pain.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Subsection 5. So I'm ispalil. So when you daven, so we do this. Koreya be baruch. So when you say baruch, you kneel when you say baruch, and you say atah, and you get up when you say Hashem. So it's baruch.
It's like three.
Yeah, but baruch atah Hashem.
Yeah.
Baruch atah Hashem, Hashem. Al shem, Hashem zokif kifufim. This, the reason you get up is because it says God straightens out those that are bent. So when you come to Baruch atah Hashem, you want to straighten out. Umekomakoyim bekriyah shebetchilas bracha. In the kneeling, that's in the beginning of the bracha. Imratzu shleiliskech ad samuch lechasima. If you wish to stand bent down until the end of the bracha, it's okay. In other words, you should get up by Hashem, that's the chatchila. But if you want to stay to the end, you have the right to do so. If you're going to raise yourself right away, then you have to do it when you say the word of Hashem. But if you want to stay like that for the rest of the bracha, that's okay. Same thing is with the kneeling that's at the end of bracha. Over there he must get up, straighten out immediately, so that you're not bent in the beginning of the next bracha, because you're not allowed to be bending over there. Then you have to get up with Hashem, because of Mishum Hashem Zekif Kifufim Bloi. Then you have to get a Hashem. So he's saying to you that Shemeshum Hashem Zekiv Kifufim Lo Yitzrichu Liskev Mikriyos Eklal. They did not require it just because of the pasuk that Hashem raises those who bent. They didn't require you to get up from your bending because of that alone. Ella, imi beladikeinu zoykev. If you're going to have to get up anyways, azay mishum Hashem zoykev kifufim, yiskev b'shem. So because of the pasuk, you should do it by the shem. If in the beginning of the bracha you're going to stand down there, that's okay. Belochein, hanoigim l'spav b'rashonim kippur b'kriya. Those who have the custom of Roshonim Kippur to daven while they're kneeling, and tzorich liskoif, then they don't have to get up, because even though by Hashem they don't have to get up, ela besoif bracha utchilasa, only in the end and the beginning of the bracha, commission is bayer, and not, I guess, only the beginning and the end of the bracha, but I'm not sure, is he trying to say the beginning of the bracha is when he says Baruch Atah, not to be bending, but when he says the words Hashem, he could, even though Hashem Zekif Kifufim, or not even just, what does it mean, what exactly is the beginning of the bracha? By the word Baruch, because over here the kneeling is in the beginning, is the when he says Baruch. He says, the main thing is when you start bracha Baruch. So when on Rosh Hashanah, when we say the beginning at the end, as long as by Baruch he's not Atah, but Hashem, he could kneel down already, or even Atah he could kneel down already. As long as in the beginning and the Baruch at the end, he's going to be up, because what he's trying to say here, just because you're mentioning Hashem doesn't mean that you have to straighten out. It's only if you're going to straighten out, that's when you have to straighten out by Hashem. But if you're davening in bent, okay, go ahead, daven bent. You only have to get up at the beginning and at the end of the Baruch. So he says, "Kshu koreya," when you bend, koreya b'mhirus, you bend quickly. When you kneel, you do quickly. Pamachas, but when you zoykev, when you get up, zoykev benachas, you get up. That's why it's almost like you get up like this. You get up in gently. Roish etchila, first you get up. So when you bend down, you go down quickly. But when you get up, first you pick up your head, and then you pick up gufay. So it shouldn't appear that his kneeling is a load on him. Oh, he gets up very quickly from it. So when you get down, you start on Baruch Atah Hashem. So you get up like a smooth. But based on the Kabbalah, Kishaimir Baruch. Yicha. So you do like this. You go Baruch, according to the secret, the Kabbalah. So you do, when you say Baruch, you kneel. And when you say Atah, you bend down. And then, Birkav, Uba'ati Yishtachave, Achi Yishtachaku Kol HaChulyas. Until all the Chulyas are, I guess, moved out of their sockets. So that's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. So you do it. This is according to the Kabbalah. So you say Baruch, okay, then you say Atah, and then you say Hashem, you go slowly, you make it slowly, so that it doesn't seem like a load. Siv Zayin, subsection 7, Hamispalel, Monos Davnik, Uboki Negdoi Nochri, and across you comes a non-Jew, Vishesi Verbiyod, he has a cross in his hands. Now you're going to be bowing. You're going to be bowing to a cross. And you come to a place where you have to bend. Lo yishcha. Don't bend. Even though you're not intending to the cross. Afal pi shelibu l'shamayim. Even though your heart is for the heaven, you're not doing it for them. Because it's the look, the appearance. Because it seems like you're buying to avoid the zara. And he tells you another very important rule, that whenever v'chol mokim she'osur v'nei maris ayin, wherever the rabbis prohibited maris ayin, something because of it looks like, they also prohibited afil b'chad v'chadorim osur, even in rooms within rooms prohibited. Sometimes the rabbis prohibited certain things, like in this case, because of the appearance. So what do you say if there's no people around? So nobody can see anyways. So what difference does it make? So there's no Marisai? No, it doesn't work. If it's prohibited where people are around, you can't do it even if nobody is around. So even though when the goy is coming with the tzelem, with the cross, nobody else is watching, you still are not allowed to do it. Be'im hanochri usar oy hegemon. What happens if the goy is either an officer or a ruler, he's in charge. I guess there's a little danger. And he has, a lot of these people, they wear a cross on their chain or something like that. But in this case, we're talking about he's holding it in his hand. So you would usually bow to such a person, he's in charge, you would bow down to them, even if he didn't have the shesver. So it's almost obvious that you're not really bowing to the cross, because you normally bow for someone, that's the honor that you do for this person. So he says, so perhaps we can be lenient, even in a place where other people see. As explained in Yerdeyah, chapter 103, over there.
Yeah? This made me think of Mordechai being faced with bowing to Haman, who allegedly had an idol in his belt.
Yeah.
Purposely to make it hard for Mordechai to bow.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of the story about Hannah and her seven sons, which he was throwing the idol. But in Haman's case, he himself considered himself the idol. Not only the cross that he was wearing, because he told all to bow to him. As a person.
There were no crosses in his time. It was an idol.
Yeah. Okay. So now. Sif Ches, we're almost done. We're doing two more Sif here. Sif Ches. He says, Ein lo hoisiv al toyarov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One should not add descriptives about Hashem, but the Holy One Blessed is here. Yoiser more me'akel ha'god la'gibre v'hanoira. More than the words that we say in the davening, the God, the big, mighty, and awesome one. That's all. Because if you would say more than them, and with Simon, then you finish, Nira, then you would appear, as if you finished all the praise, because you came up and you were saying, and then you stopped. So it means that you have concluded to say all the praise of Hashem. Who is then able to really let us hear all God's praise? Can we actually tell all God's praise? We have the ability to do that. Even these three, so why are these three descriptions, these descriptives of Hashem, the Godel, Gibber, Nora, even these three descriptives, had Moshe not written these titles for Hashem in the Torah, and the people of the great gathering, they came along, they instituted them in the player, we would not say them. We wouldn't even say these. These are also not arbitrary that we chose to talk about Hashem in such a way. Therefore, Chachamim instituted this. We can't change from the coined, the way the Chachamim coined these phrases and these matbeya of the way to praise Hashem. That's it. Don't add to the praises of Hashem. This applies, this applies to the Amida, the prayer of the 18. Or requests or praises that a person says on his own. This is the Amida that you're doing. But what about if a person is praying by himself? Then you can increase and speak of descriptions as much as to your heart's delight. Go ahead. Because when he is beseeching by himself, not in the shul with everybody, by himself, and he says to a certain description, so then it's visible, it's apparent that he's not saying them only because he needs these descriptions because for his needs. So say that he's saying, God merciful one. because he's asking God for a merciful one, or asking God for kindness. He says kindness. So the reason he's describing God with that is not because he's trying to praise God with his endless praises, just because that's needed for his specific request now. So he's saying those specific, well, that's okay. As opposed to when we talk about the prayer of the Amidah, on this first blessing, these descriptions do not come. They're only mentioned there so that we want to mention God's praises. Because we're not yet asking anything from Him. So why are we mentioning God's name? We're just saying to mention Him. In that case, we can only mention what the Torah mentioned. We can only praise Hashem with what we find, what the rabbis have instituted, but not to go ahead and add it up. But there's another opinion that prohibits in all cases, even if you're praying on your own. Because every type of wholesomeness, like we're saying, you know, what we feel as a completeness of our, or an advantage, saying this person is a wholesome person, and you start saying what makes him wholesome, because he has this characteristics. So all the wholesomeness that we describe to people, or by us, so by Hashem, blessed, he doesn't even have from that kind. He doesn't have any of this wholesomeness, what we would consider to be wholesome. We don't really have an appreciation, a really understanding, what is Hashem's wholesomeness, because we don't, He doesn't have any of these wholesomeness. They are all actually lackings in his statues, by Hashem's blessed statues. He gives you an example. He says, "V'moshu lemelech." Say, for example, he had a king. He had 10,000 golden coins. And then you would praise him. You say, you know how rich the king is? Bishal kesef, that he has silver. That would be a degradation for the king. Here he has thousands of golden coins, and you're saying he's silver. So this is not a praise. This is going to be a degradation. Because all the praises and all these attributes or descriptions, they cannot be associated to Hashem in a positive way. Because God's name is exalted from any praise, from any blessing, any praise. It's just we are removing the negative, which means lishloil havcha mishma yizbarach. We just are taking away from the opposite. We're basically saying he doesn't have not compassion. He's not compassion. We don't have the positive. We just know what our praises are. He's not lacking of anything, but not the actual praise. Ki yidua kinoid la yoidim inech dus yizbarach hapash tachas apshitus. As is known to those who know the idea of God's unity, who is with simplest in this total simplicity. This is some Hasidic thought snuck into the Shulchan Aruch. So we have two opinions. So one opinion says, if you're praying on your own, you can say Hashem whatever you want. The other opinion says, no, you can't say, because anything that you're going to say, you're going to make, you're actually ruining it. You're actually degrading Hashem because you're saying less. So, va'ikar kisvara reshena, the rule is like the first opinion. The lochei nogu leimer tchinas, that's why in our beseeching we say, inyone, that would be hamasudorim ba'alav beis. We say, actually we do it also, we do that. We do by the olive base. We're praying in Hashem with all kinds, and certainly in the Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, we have all kinds of piyutim on the olive base. Each letter gets its own description, its own praise on its own. The Chenar B'Tfilas Doimus, there's also many other similar. So, because those who were asking the Sitchi were allowed to do it, not the Amida, that goes like the first opinion. But Alpha began, yet, it's fitting for those, the one who wishes to prolong in praising of Hashem, he should say them while reading the verses. According to all, that will be according to opinion, because you're not going to be saying it separate, but he's going to. Now, I'm not sure. In the reading of the psukim, not sure, but we don't necessarily do that way. We need to look this further. Okay, finally, number 9, siftes. If while you're beseeching Hashem, you say as follows: one who had pity on the pigeon's nest, because we know that Hashem says we have to send away the mother bird, so not to cause the mother pain when you see that you're taking away the children. So you say, well, God who has pity on the nest of the bird, because you see, God is very merciful. Yirachem Aleinu should also have mercy on us. Somebody says that, Mashtikin Oysa, you make him quiet. You don't allow him to say that. Why? She'im Mitzvah Mokum Rachmonus. Because God's commands are not based on pity. Elegzeira Salami. These are decrees for his people. Leidiyah She'im Avodav, to let know that they're his servants, V'shem Re Mitzvaysov. They keep his mitzvahs, Gzeiris, Chukaysov, and the decree of his statutes. Av B'dvarim She'yesh L'sodin Lumis Oylin L'oshav Aleim. Even in our matters that the Satan and the nation of the world can respond. They say, why do you need this mitzvah? If we're going to say, oh, because the mitzvah of Hashem, then you start choosing the mitzvahs you like. Oh, the pitiful one. Oh, those mitzvahs I like. And then some mitzvahs which don't meet my standard or way I think, I don't like them. Says that's not the mitzvah of Hashem. It's to accept what Hashem has told us, commanded statutes. The same thing would be true. This is from the Mishnah in Brachos. One says, we're going to mention your name for the good that you've done for us. So that also. So you're basically saying to Hashem, I'm going to thank you for the good that you've done for us. So then Mashtikin, we also make him quiet. We don't let him say that. Why? Because one must make bless Hashem even if something bad happens to him, just like he blesses for the good. As will be explained in Simur Islamet. Yeah, and not only that, you have to say it also with joy. So we have to accept basically Hashem's judgment either way and not balk, you know, at Hashem. So to say, oh, we'll remember you good because you did good for us. You can thank Hashem for the goodness, but you can't hinge it in saying that you're only going to go along with Hashem because he's doing good. Because one has to accept Hashem whether good or bad. All right, we'll leave it over here.
All right, thank you. I was thinking about Hagar.